There's an old story about the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Now, the Lone Ranger and Tonto decided they'd go to the desert and camp there. They set up their tent, and they soon fell fast asleep. A few hours later, Tonto is awakened, and he wakes up the Lone Ranger. And he says to the Lone Ranger, "Kemosabe, look to the sky. What do you see?" And the Lone Ranger says, "I see millions of stars." And Tonto says to him, "What does that tell you, Kemosabe?" I like that word, Kemosabe. "What does that tell you, Kemosabe?" And the Lone Ranger says, after he thinks for a while, he says, "Well, you know, astronomically, it means that there are millions of galaxies and billions of planets, perhaps. Astrologically, it means Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it seems like it's about 2:45 in the morning. Meteorologically, it means tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day. And theologically, it means the Almighty Lord is powerful, and we are small and insignificant." At that, the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto and says, "What does it mean to you, Tonto?" And Tonto looks at the Lone Ranger and says, "You're dumber than a buffalo. It means somebody stole the tent." You know, sometimes the things that are so apparent right in front of us, we miss. I mean, think about it. How often do we miss the presence of God in our own lives? How often do we get distracted from Him being right there with us in all things and about all things? But we miss Him. And we miss Him probably because we can't conceive that He's with us in the situation that He's with us in. And or we cry to Him and we're so frantic in our distress and our depression, in our fear, that we can't see Him. You know, the story that we have in the gospel today is the story of actually Easter afternoon and evening. It's a story of two men that have left Jerusalem. They were there for the Passover, and they are on their way back to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles away. They're walking along the road, and as they're walking along the road, they were followers of the Lord, and they thought that Jesus was coming to them. And they're talking about everything that's gone on, everything that's happened, all that's been done to Jesus. And they're very, very sad. It says that as they're walking along, all of a sudden Jesus comes up and starts walking alongside to him. And he says to them, "What are you guys talking about?" And they say, "What do you mean? Everything that's gone on." And then they say to him, "Are you the only stranger visiting Jerusalem that doesn't know what went on?" In other words, you were in Jerusalem, obviously. You were there probably for the Passover. Obviously, they recognize him as a Jew. And they say, "Are you the only one that doesn't get it? What's going on?" And he says, Jesus back to him, he says, "What things?" And he entices them into a conversation. At that point, they begin, "It's about Jesus of Nazareth. You know, we thought that he was a prophet, mighty indeed in word. We thought that he was there to redeem Israel. And yet, you know, the chief priests and Pharisees, they handed him over to be crucified, and he died. And now, what's even more interesting is some of the women went to the tomb this morning, and they say that the tomb was empty, and yet some angels talked to them. They couldn't figure it out." At that point, Jesus turns to them and says, basically, "Why are you such fools? Why are you fools? Why are you so spiritually challenged? Why are you so spiritual challenged? Why are you slow to heart to believe?" You see, the Messiah had to go through that. He had to go through that. And then it says that he opens the scriptures from Moses through the prophets. He opens up the scriptures and tells everything that the scripture says about him. You know, I have to laugh because in certain ways, Jesus, as he was talking about, had to have talked about himself in the third person. In other words, I mean, they would have realized right away if he said, "Well, you know, let me just open up the scriptures and let's take a look at Isaiah here. You know, I mean, here's Isaiah. You know, this is what it's talking about me, how I'm supposed to die on the cross and the whole nine yards." So he had to talk about him in third person, which reminds me of that sermon I did a couple of weeks ago about talking in the third person about yourself. You know, You know, Jimmy doesn't like this. But the truth of the matter is that he somehow, in the midst of it, opens the scriptures up to him. It says later that they were burning, their hearts were burning with, you know, excitement about all that Jesus said. It says they arrive in Emmaus, and it looks like Jesus is going to keep going. And they invite him in to stay. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of things, Jesus goes in, they sit down to have dinner. After he blesses and breaks the bread, their eyes are open, and he vanishes. What do? I guess they skip dinner, and they run right back to Jerusalem, back to find the disciples and all that were believing. And they start telling their part of the story, and they get back there, and they find out, you know what? The Lord's appeared to Simon, too. And that's Simon Peter, by the way. You know, it's so interesting to me that here we have the story of two men who obviously love the Lord, obviously were looking for the Lord, but they never say that Jesus was the Messiah. They say that he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. But they don't say he was the Messiah. And then they go to that place where I think where they got sort of off course, which I find myself getting off course. They say, and we thought he was the one to redeem Israel. You see, they thought he was going to redeem Israel, and they thought that he was going to redeem Israel in a certain way. They thought he was going to come in, he was going to get an army together, he was going to overthrow the Romans, and that he was going to take care of them, and then he was going to get all the temple authorities into order, and he was going to be the Messiah that was going to sit in Jerusalem and sit on, you know, the throne in the temple, and the Messiah would reign. But Jesus comes in as the Messiah, and he comes in as a suffering servant, not as a conquering commander. You see, their vision was of redeeming Israel, that he would come in as the conquering commander. And yet he comes in as a suffering servant that is crucified. You know what? How often do we do that? Where we miss God because God doesn't do it the way we want him to. How many events have you ever had in your life where you really said, well, I believe in God? I mean, if you're here this morning, odds are you're saying, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In fact, you'll say that in just a little while. But do you believe in him, or do you believe more in the outcomes you want from him? Because most of us center our belief system in on the outcomes that we want from him more than in him. I found myself in that place many a time. I remember the first most dramatic one. I was raised, you know, in a Christian family, and my, you know, all families are dysfunctional, but as you've heard me tell 1,000 times, you know, my family was very Christian, very involved in the church, but when my dad died at 16, I'll tell you right now, you know, I was devastated. How dare he do that? Because I thought that he'd be healed right up till the day before he died. I thought somehow God would come in. How could God take my father? He was a good guy. You know, take one of the bad ones. Why? Because he have to take him. And I believed, and I thought I had to hold on to that belief the way it was, because if I just shake a little bit, my faith would be shaken. And then all of a sudden, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. I remember thinking that day that he died, looking up at the sky and saying, yeah, you're there, but you don't really care. You know, the very thing that God wants us to know is that he does care. You know, the very thing that God wants us to know is the one promise he makes implicitly, constantly, is, lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. I'm never giving up on you. I'm always going to be with you. But the one thing that God wants to get through to us, I think, that many times we miss, is that he's going to do it in his own way. In the same way as he redeemed Israel in his own way, not by coming as a conquering commander, but rather as, you know, the suffering servant, that God works in mysterious ways. God comes in, and he does everything he says. He did redeem Israel, but he did it in a different way than they ever imagined, and that's why so many of them missed him. You know, I love that old saying. You know, you want to make God laugh? Plan your day. You know? Because God doesn't necessarily always work the way we want him to work, does he? I mean, not for me. You know, there's nothing in my life that I think turned out the way I really expected it to. And yet I know God has been present in my life every step of the way. And some of the times that were the most difficult in my life, the times where I said, God, you've left me all alone in here, get me out of here, those were the times that he was most present. But I couldn't see it at the time. I can only see it in retrospect. Take a look at your life. The times God's gotten you through, the time when God's acting mightily, or the times that you probably didn't feel him all that much and all the love, but he was nonetheless present, working, creating, redeeming, always molding and shaping, and he never lets you out of the palm of his hand. You see, Cleopas and the other person that were on the walk didn't realize it. They thought that Jesus had to operate the way they had conceived Jesus was going to operate. They were living more into the future, into the prophecy in their interpretation, rather than into the reality of what God really does, of believing just in a person, not in an outcome. You see, the Christian faith doesn't teach you to believe in an outcome. Truly, it teaches to believe in a person, the person of God who comes in Jesus Christ. And that person of God who comes in Jesus Christ will get you to the outcome, but the outcome might not look exactly the way you've envisioned it all your life. So if you keep fashioning it and shaping it the way you want it to be, you're going to miss God a lot of the times. Instead of saying, I just want to be with him. And what do we know about him? Number one, he'll never ever leave you. Number two, he is faithful to you even when you're not faithful to him. That number three, he is going to give you the fullness of life when you really start walking with him in all that is available to you in this life. It's trusting in a person, not trusting in an outcome. It's knowing him. But most of us don't want to meet God except right in the outcome that we've designed. Well, that's not the way it really is ever called to be. I mean, how many mistakes did it have to take to get you where you are today if you're happy? I mean, how many mistakes did you have to go through? I mean, I would venture to guess, at least in my life, I had more mistakes getting to where I am now than I had successes getting to where I am now. And yet I know that God was with me in every one of those, and that he never abandoned me. That there was times even when I was running, trying to get off the side of his hand, and he'd zip me right back. It's because somehow in the midst of it, you meet him. You know, I was watching public TV the other day, and it was an interview by a guy, Bob Bowers, who was a mime, actually. And he was talking about when he was growing up, he never really liked to talk. He wasn't very social, and he didn't like to talk. And all of a sudden, one day, he saw on the TV that there was a mime, and a mime communicated without words. And, you know, I mean, you know, I'm one of these guys. And all of a sudden, back in his day, he heard that Marcel Marceau, the great French mime that was, you know, incredible, you know, was coming to the States. And he said, I got to meet him. I just got to meet him. Well, he'd already begun being a mime, and somehow he worked his way into meeting Marcel Marceau. He got an audience with him all by himself. And in the midst of it, he said there was a line that Marceau said that he never would forget. He said, Marceau looked at me and said, most people, he's French, I got to do the French thing. Most people think Marceau is a genius. No, no. Marceau not the genius. Genius is when the people and Marceau connect. You know, there's a whole lot of spiritual depth in that statement. Because it isn't where you look and God has turned out your life the way you want it to be. That is the genius. That is the incredible spiritual experience. It's when you and God connect that is the genius and the spiritual experience. You might have had a life that's turned all the right ways. You may have been lucky and, the stock market worked for you. Your relationships worked for you. The house you lived in, you know, worked for you. Every time you sold a house, you made more money than what you bought it for. You know, where you, the cars that you had never broke down. Obviously, you bought American. You know, and where you went through everything that you did. But the truth of the matter is, unless you connect with God, you have nothing. And the good news of the gospel in this Easter season is you connecting in the genius of the connection between God's people and God. That's where it all comes together. Really believing, lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. I'm not giving up on you. Nothing can separate me from you. Not life, death, you know, nor principalities. Nothing will ever separate you from me. That I know that I believe in that person. That person that is God. That expression of God in this world that is Jesus Christ. That he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me that I'm his own. You see, it's there that all of a sudden something becomes alive. It's there that all of a sudden spirituality is real. The rest of it's just religion. But it's there that the life-giving force, the spirituality that gives you life in all its fullness that Jesus promises you, takes place. It's almost as though for me, maybe not for you, that in some ways I had to give up on my own belief so I can embrace the true belief. Because my own belief was based on outcomes. My own belief was based on everything going the smooth way. My own belief was getting rescued every time I got in trouble by God coming riding in on that Lone Ranger white horse. But the truth of the matter is, my own spiritual experience, the truth of my faith comes in by just being with God in that fullness of being with Him, no matter what goes on. As you come to the Eucharist, I pray that you come to the genius. To the genius of the connection between God and His people, you particularly, and know Him in the breaking of the bread, just as Cleopas and the other guy knew. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.